Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Keith Radford, former Channel 7 newsman, is with us this morning on the WBEN Trocare College Lifeline as we remember O.J. Simpson. And Keith, glad you could be with us. How are you going to remember O.J.? Because it seems like it's generational in terms of how people answer that question.
Well, it's a very complicated thing. You know, as I've said before, there are two O.J. Simpsons. The outstanding athlete who played for the Buffalo Bills, his name's up on the wall out at the stadium in Orchard Park, and went on to play in San Francisco and set the records. And then there's the O.J. Simpson post the murders of his ex-wife and her friend Ron Goldman. Completely different people. At least that's what I thought when I would see him and interviewed him a few times, spoke to him. Just hard to comprehend, really. It was a long, bizarre, tragic saga.
You covered the trial, which it seemed like a circus at the time, with all these faces appearing. I mean, it was everybody's favorite TV show for however long it lasted. What was that like, being right in the middle of it?
Well, actually, initially, I was there for the what actually happened. I went out for the cameraman immediately, and I went to O.J.'s house, and that was a real circus in his neighborhood. Satellite trucks everywhere, the neighbors yelling at everybody. It was just a mess. And I was there for the Bronco chase when we were down at police headquarters. He was supposed to turn himself in, and he didn't show up. And then they arrested him, and I remember watching him drive in the driveway, and I watched them fingerprint him through the window. So that was all the crazy stuff. Then I went back and I covered the first week of the trial, and then I had to come back to Buffalo and we sent another reporter because I couldn't stay out there for 3 months. So in the beginning was the craziness and hard to believe it was happening. I remember when we ran out of police headquarters after the L.A. police commissioner told us that he didn't show up and he was a fugitive, and we looked at the monitors and we saw this Bronco chase going on live, and nobody could believe it. It was just surreal.
You're right. I mean, I think we heard 95 million Americans were, you know, tuned into that. It was just unbelievable as that was unfolding. The trial itself was really filled with characters, right? From the attorneys to some of the witnesses, and then things that got bungled at the trial. Do you remember some of that?
Yeah. Johnny Cochran and Marsha Clark and the prosecution and Judge Ito. That O.J. Simpson trial, arrest and trial, was really the beginning of all news cable TV. Court TV eventually sprung out of that live coverage every day that you could watch from the trial. And it really changed the way the media operates and made it like what we have today, where, 24/7 everywhere on all these different platforms. The O.J. Simpson trial was the first big event to really change things when it came to the media. And yeah, it was weird. I mean, you can remember Johnny Cochran giving the glove to O.J. and O.J. trying to get it on his hand, and Johnny Cochran's famous, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Who can forget that line? You spoke with O.J. after this whole thing happened, years later. What was that like? What was he trying to accomplish by speaking to you?
Well, it was me that asked to speak to him. It had been 10 years. It was the 10th anniversary. And I wanted to do a story on what was O.J. Simpson's life like today, 10 years later. Because really, he was kind of an outcast. I mean, most people didn't want anything to do with him, even a lot of his old friends in Buffalo. So anyway, I had to go through his lawyer, and finally, he said, yeah, okay. He called me and said, we'll do it. So I met in Miami, and they said, well, you can't talk about the trial. I said, oh, okay. Well, I didn't have to bring it up. Within 60 seconds, O.J. started, and gave me one of his other famous lines. He said, hey, I'm not paying a dime. I didn't do the crime. And you could see that he was different. He was out there. I mean, he really convinced himself in his mind that he had done nothing wrong, that he was blameless in this, that he had nothing to do with this double murder, and he really believed that.
What do you think those last years were like for him?
Well, not good, I don't think. I mean, he knew, he went from superstardom on the football field and movies and television commercials to the 180 degrees. He was a pariah. I mean, most people, not all, but most people didn't want anything to do with it. When I put him on 10 years later after the fact, I had a couple letters from people saying, how could you put this murderer on television? Nobody wanted to hear anything about him, most people anyway. So he tried to move back here to Florida, and they wouldn't let him. He was here because he could protect his NFL pension. The state can't take your money here. He had that big judgment against him from the civil trial, which he never paid. I said, do you ever? He said, oh, I go to these things on the weekends and I sign autographs. I said, well, what about the Goldmans? You got to pay them and your ex-wife's family this money. And he just laughed. And he said, I spend it before they can get it. So, I could tell within about 60 seconds when I sat down with him that time that he really was not the O.J. Simpson that I knew before that. But he lived a pretty lonely life. He's been living, as far as I know, in a condominium on a golf course in Las Vegas for the last few years. A friend of his, I think, owned it. And he played golf every day and would go out publicly a little bit, not a lot, but I think he was a lonely guy.
Keith, before we let you go, given everything you just said there, is it surprising to you then that there's kind of been this resurgence of interest in the last few years, right? The made-for-TV series, documentaries coming out. He was such a pariah, went from most loved to most hated in America, yet people can't get enough.
Well, look at some of this stuff that's on television or streaming services today. That you think, how can people watch this gory stuff? That was the biggest trial in recent American history, really. I can't think of anything else that captivated the nation's attention. I remember I went over to the Bijou Grill on Main Street across from Shays, and that's where we watched, because there are a lot of people there watching the verdict. And when the verdict came down, you had half the crowd cheering and smiling and clapping, and then you had the other half just in disbelief and shock with their mouths dropped open. They couldn't believe it was a not guilty verdict. So, yeah, it was, you had a lot of people on both sides.
You sure did. Hey, Keith, great remembering with you this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.